His child and to be doing his work. We're so thankful for the call on our lives, and I'm just looking forward to what God has in store for us today in this place, aren't you? Amen. So quick introduction. I'll tell you about me, then I'll tell you about what he was talking about. I am third generation Church of God preacher. My daddy was a preacher and pastor of the Church of God. My grandpa was a preacher and a pastor in the Church of God. So this has been my whole life. And I've got a great lineage, and those men that went before me did a great job and were admirable men of God, and I'm just trying my best to carry the mantle that they've left for me to carry. They're both going on. They finished their journey, and I'm just trying to do my best to do what they did. So that's who I am. I'm married. I'm 32 years, I think. This October, I think it'll be 32 years. If I'm wrong, she'll be mad if she watches this, but I think it's 32 years. I can do the math real quick, but I guess I already put it out there. But 32 years we've been married, got two boys. Our youngest is 18. He still lives at home and probably will till he's 40. We're praying about that. Then my oldest is 24, and he's married and already got two kids himself, so they made me a grandpa, y'all. That is something else, and my wife and I are certainly enjoying that. And he didn't tell you this part, but he's older than I am, but I beat him to the grandparent stage, so I won. And but they're getting ready to experience that, so I've been showing them pictures. This is what you have to look forward to. But we have been enjoying our grandbabies for sure. And so that's a little bit about me. Like he said, I am an ordained bishop in the Church of God, and I've pastored a lot of places and evangelized. I've been a youth pastor. I've been a children's pastor. I've served in every way in the church that you can serve. I've just always tried to go where God wanted me to go and do what God wanted me to do. And if he opened the door, I walk through it. And the more you get to know me, the more you'll learn that when I walk through a door, I don't usually go half speed. I hit it pretty hard. And so I've done that in my whole ministry. And recently, I got the opportunity, and I actually worked for this ministry before, but I was doing it when I pastored. I was pastoring a church and working for this ministry. And recently, they got a new opportunity and called me up and asked me if I would be willing to come back to this ministry and help them with this opportunity. As Chuck said, it is, and I wasn't even going to mention that, but he let the cat out of the bag, but it is an AG ministry. So I have a very interesting, I'm in a very interesting position right now because I am Church of God and I don't plan on leaving the Church of God. And they knew I was Church of God, but because of what we do, they said that that's why one of the things that they wanted was they wanted somebody other than somebody's got a missionary, because I work with missionaries. This is a world missions ministry, and everybody in my office, all the other guys that do what I do, are all Assemblies of God missionaries. That's what they are, and I'm the only Church of God guy in the office. I tell them that the Lord sent me there to get them all saved. That's what I say. And they just call me their token Church of God guy. So we get along really good. But I'm just in this interesting position because the ministry that they have, they wanted the Pentecostal world or the Pentecostal churches to know that this is just not an AG thing. And that was one of the reasons why, as a Church of God minister, they wanted me to come aboard, because they wanted everyone to know that this is a Pentecostal resource that every Pentecostal child of God should be able to take advantage of. And so that's why they asked me to come aboard. And so I did. This Bible is called the Fire Bible. Anybody ever heard of the Full Life Study Bible? Yeah. Full Life Study Bible? Life in the Spirit Study Bible? Anybody? Well, that's what the Fire Bible is. So it originally was called, the Full Life Study Bible. And then for a little, they did some work on the notes and changed the name to Life in the Spirit Study Bible. And then they, in that process, they had a donor come along and buy, it was like 15,000 Chinese Bibles. And when they put a cover on that Chinese Bible, they didn't put Fire Bible. It didn't say Holy Bible at all. It was just a green cover, and it had a flame on the front. That's all it had. And they took those Bibles, and they smuggled them into China, a bunch of them, and they started passing those Bibles out to as many believers as they could get them to. And those believers began to read that Bible. And they said, my goodness, the Bible with the fire on the outside has fire on the inside. And so when they made that statement stuck, and that's the reason why they changed the name to the Fire Bible, because the Chinese said there was fire on it. How many knows there's fire in this book?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. Amen. There's fire in this book. And Jeremiah said, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. But then what did he say? He said, I can't stand it. It's like a fire shut up in. There's fire in this book. Amen. And it'll set you on fire if you'll get the book in you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen. And so they changed the name to the Fire Bible. They have translated this Bible in over 60 different international languages, and which is pretty impressive. And that's when he was talking about sending the Bible to the world, or the Word to the world. That's what I get to do every single day, which is the reason why that I was so willing to get involved in this ministry, to cross those denominational lines, which we probably need to do more of anyways. So crossing those denominational lines to engage with these folks in the work of the ministry so that we can get this word, God's word, to the world. That's what we do every day. We have English Bibles as well, and we use the English Bibles. We sell the English Bibles to raise money so we can do the international language Bibles. That's what we do. And so we have the Fire Bible, and I brought a couple with me. We have it, and I brought both of these that I brought today is one of our... It's our new one of the new projects that we've just completed. We actually had the MEV out for a while. MEV is Modern English Version, and I brought the bonded leather so that you guys could see it after service. If you want to read a few verses out of there, see how it reads, then you're more than welcome to do that. I brought the bonded leather MEV Fire Bible, and if you're a King James person and you're looking for maybe a new version, this is a good one. I'm a King James guy. I am, and this is the MEV actually has a King James base, and so you can read it and you can see it. It still retains some of that rhythm and poetry. Then I brought the MEV Student Bible, and the Student Bible has all the same notes and all the same resources that the other Bible has, only it has some added articles that teach our kids how to go onto the campus of their schools and win their friends to Jesus. It's called the Campus Missionary Project, and so it's in there as well. And so that Bible, it is a study resource. There are 77 foundational articles dealing with some real practical things, some real doctrinal issues. 77 articles in there. There's notes on almost every page, full concordance, full. It's got a subject index, a theme, some theme finders in there. There's just a lot of good stuff. It's a great resource, and they're doing the great work. So that's the commercial. If you want to see what these Bibles are all about, I'll be happy to show you after the service. Amen? So he wanted me to kind of tell you what I was doing. And this is actually an MEV as well, but when we reprinted it, this Bible actually looks a little different. I do have some of those if you want to see that too. I didn't bring them inside. I did tell Sister Sherry that I wasn't going to stop preaching today till I got through all three of those Bibles. I'm not sure what that means for you, but amen. Amen. All right, that's a commercial. We love what we're doing because, like I said, we're sending the word to the world. And how can you not like doing that? Isn't that what our Christian life is all about? Isn't that what the Great Commission is all about? And so we enjoy being able to do that. If you have any other questions, I probably missed a lot because my mind is really on the word and what I brought to share with you today. That's really where my mind is. So that's not my normal spiel. So if you have any other questions, please ask me. I would love to answer those questions. Amen? Are you ready for the word this morning? First, I want to say thank you so much for inviting us. Thank you so much for having us this morning. We've been so looking forward to this. And yes, the Farrells are great friends. My wife is angry at me because I'm here and she's not. She said, I can't believe you're going there without me because we love the Farrells. And, you know, anytime we do General Assembly or something like that, they were down in New Mexico and we were off. I don't remember. We were in Michigan. I think we were in Michigan, weren't we? We were in Michigan. They were in New Mexico, and we met at General Assembly. We always try to go out to eat dinner or something, do something fun, because we love the Farrells, and they're great people. Y'all are lucky to have them, and we are so glad that they're here, and we're glad for you. And I'm just looking forward to hearing the great reports out of Ravenna, right? It's Ravenna. I think I pronounced it wrong before. It's Ravenna. So I'm so glad that they're here, and I'm looking forward to what God's going to do here. Aren't you?
Amen.
Amen and amen and amen. All right, let's get into the word this morning. Somebody say, finally. Work with me now. Work with me. Somebody say, finally. Finally, let's get into it. Isaiah 43, if you will. Would you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43 this morning? We're going to begin at verse 11. I like to see that. We like to stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. I believe his word deserves honor, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to give him honor this morning. Amen. Amen. It's behind me, I know. But if you're turning in your Bible, I still like to look it up in my Bible. Anybody else?
Amen.
Amen. How many knows the people that put this together? And by the way, I put this together. So the people that put this together, sometimes they get it wrong. But it's not wrong in here. Amen?
Amen?
So I like to look it up in my Bible. Isaiah 43 and 11, it says, I am the Lord. And beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and I have saved. And I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, hear my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Lord, we love you this morning and praise you. God, what an honor it is to be in your house today. God, what an honor it is to stand, Lord, in your presence with your people as we praise and glorify and honor you. And I just ask you today, Lord Jesus, as we've gathered in your word, that your word, Lord Jesus, would be real to us today, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd send it out and write it upon every heart and upon every mind in this building today, Lord. We love you, Lord, and praise you for it. Challenge us with it. God, challenge us with your word. And I pray, God, today somebody would be touched. Somebody would be moved. Somebody would be changed. In this house today, Lord, we just love you and praise you and worship you. Would you do me a favor? Would you just raise your hands and begin to thank God for what he's getting ready to say to us today in this house? Lord, we just thank you and praise you and honor you. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be your holy name in this house today, God. You are worthy of praise and we've come and give it to you, Lord. You are worthy of honor, God, and we've gathered in this house, Lord, to lift you up today in this house, Lord. We praise you and worship you. You are worthy, God, to receive glory and honor. And here we are, Lord Jesus, offering it up to you the best way that we know how, Lord. We praise you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. You may be seated. Praise you, Jesus. I'm looking forward to a day when Jesus comes back to get us. And we're not just standing in a building somewhere, and I thank God for every building that we have. But we're not just standing in a building somewhere lifting our hands. We're standing at his feet raising our hands. Amen? And offering him praise. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Wow, what a scripture that is, isn't it? What a text that is today. As we read that, it just causes my heart to rejoice. Amen? As I read that text, there's only one declaration to make today, and it's this. God is God, and he always will be God. Does anybody believe that? Anybody remember that old song that says, amen, he's God on the platform, he's God at the door, he's God in the amen corner, and he's God all over the floor. Anybody remember that old song? It goes on to say, he's God in the Father, he's God in the Son, he's God in the Holy Ghost, he's God all three in one. It goes on to say, he's God when the lightning flashes, he's God when the thunder rolls, he's God way up in heaven, and he's God down in my soul. Amen. I know God is God, and God will never change. I know God is God, and he always will be God. Does anybody believe that this morning? Amen? God is God, and he always will be God. I think that's what God is saying about himself in this text. I think that's the declaration that he's making. He's announcing, I am God, and I'll always be God. Amen? I believe that. How about you? Now, there's way too much in this text to handle it all, so we're just going to concentrate on verse 13 today. We're just going to break down 13. Is that all right with you? Amen. I guess it's my message. I can preach it how I want to, right? Amen. Amen. Now, you're going to find out real quick. I like to tease and laugh and cut up, so don't take... When I'm doing this, you can take that serious. The rest of it, we're just going to have fun. Amen? How many believes we ought to be able to have fun in the presence of God? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So we're just going to break down verse 13 this morning. Let's get into that. The first thing that God says in verse 13 is, he says, before the day was, I am he. Do you see that? Before the day was, I am he. I believe God is talking here about his eternal nature.
Amen. He's proclaiming before anything else was, I was. Amen. He's saying before there was a hill, a bird, a lake, or a tree, he said there was me. Before there was a sun, a moon, a planet, or a star, I was already sitting on my throne in the Holy of Holies. I was already inhabiting eternity. His word declares that he is eternal. Does anybody believe that this morning? He's an eternal God. His word says in Psalm 91, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou has formed the earth and the world, ever from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Psalm 135:13 says, thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. Isaiah 48:12 says, hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am he. I am the first, also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. Revelations 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and was and which is to come, the Almighty. Our text, along with all of these other verses, all these other references, announces to us that God was God, God is God, and God will always be God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe that. Amen. He's God and he always will be God. So listen, if you were to get into a time machine today, amen. If you, anybody like science fiction, if you were able to get into a time machine today and you turn that dial back, it wouldn't matter how far back you turn the dial. When that time machine came to rest in that time and you got out of that thing, you know what you find? Well, you may not find a lot, but God would be there. Amen. If you get back in that time machine and you turn that dial as far forward as you could, when you got out, amen, there may not be nothing left. We may have imploded and destroyed ourselves, but there's one that would still be there. His name is God, because there's never been a time when he wasn't, and there'll never be a time when he isn't. God is God, and he always will be God. Oh, come on, somebody give him a praise in the house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You ready to have church this morning? I feel like preaching today. Amen. There's never been a time when he wasn't. And there'll never be a time when he isn't. He is an eternal God. Come on, somebody. He's an everlasting God. He's an infinite God. He's a timeless, immortal, perpetual God. Amen. Amen. Everything about him is eternal. When you examine him, you'll find out that everything about God is eternal. His mercy is eternal according to Psalm 103:17. His righteousness is eternal according to Psalm 119:142. His strength is eternal according to Isaiah 26:4. His light is eternal according to Isaiah 60:19. His name is eternal according to Isaiah 63:16. His kingdom is eternal according to Psalm 145:13. Everything about him is eternal. It doesn't matter what you search or research. Every aspect of God is eternal. Amen. It's all eternal. His nature, his character, it's all eternal. Knowing that, amen, encourages my soul. Knowing that, amen, rejoices my soul today. Because listen, what he did for my grandmama, and he did a lot. Amen. What he did for her, amen, it's not just stories. It's not just reminiscing moments. Amen. But it can be a reality. And it was. So what he did for my grandmama, he did for my mama. What he did for my mama, because I know he's a God that does not change. A God that's always the same. Then I know what he did for them, he can do for me right now. Hallelujah. Does anybody believe that today? See, you've been sitting around listening to those stories thinking they were good stories, but it's never been a reality in your life. Well, let me tell you something. It doesn't just have to be a memory. It can be a reality in your life, because God is still the same. Does anybody believe that? Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You believe that today? He's always been and he always will be. What he did, he can still do. Come on, somebody. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. And that ought to cause you to rejoice in your soul. Every time you hear one of those stories, you want to start getting happy about it. You know why? Because when you get in that same predicament, when you experience that same kind of moment, what he did right then for them in that moment, he can come into your situation and he can do the very same thing. Amen. Amen. You believe that? God is God and he always will be God. Amen.
Secondly, in this text, in verse 13, he reveals to us there is none that can deliver out of my hand. Oh, I like this part. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. So first God talks about his eternal nature. And then he begins to talk to us about his omnipotence. He begins to tell us how powerful he is. I wish there was somebody in the house to believe that God had all power. You know, we sit around watching the news and hearing this story and that report. We read this article, and sometimes we get a little overwhelmed by it. But what you need to remind yourself is we serve a God that has all power. Amen. We serve a God that has all power. Amen? Amen. And there's one out there claiming to have power. The devil claims to have power, but it's a false sense of power. It's a false sense of control, because I serve a God that has all control. And he has all power. Does anybody believe that today? Amen. So he starts talking about how that he has all power. Now, I believe that he's notifying us of several things. He's communicating several things when he makes this statement. First of all, I believe he's notifying us that there's no power on this earth, over this earth, or under this earth that can remove us from his merciful hand. Did you hear what I said? Does anybody believe you're in the hand of God today? Come on, does anybody believe every hand in this place ought to go up? If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, then you're in the hand of God. Amen? Well, I got news for you. There's nobody that can force you out of the hand of God. Now, I also know that sometimes we're enticed and sometimes we're tempted, and we voluntarily follow that enticement or that temptation, and we remove ourselves from his hand. But I want you to understand today that there is no power, there is no entity that can force open the hand of God and remove us from it. You believe that? Ain't nobody can take us out of the hand of God. Amen. You might walk away, but ain't nobody can take us out of the hand of God. Come on, somebody. I love this verse. It says in John 10 and 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Listen, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29 says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Listen, no man, no force, no entity, no power can remove us from the hand of God. Do you understand that today? You ought to be secure where you are. Amen? I'm not telling you you can't backslide, but here's what I am telling you. As long as you hold on to the hand of God, you won't. Come on, somebody. As long as you hold on to the hand of the man who stilled the waters, as long as you hold on to that unchanging hand that we sing about in that wonderful redback hymnal, as long as you hold on to his hand, you won't backslide, because he'll be with you. He said, I'll go with you all the way, even until the end. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, someone bless his name in this house. I'm trying to social distance, but I feel like running up that middle aisle. Amen. I feel the presence of the Lord in this house this morning. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Listen, I know the devil's been talking to you. I know he's been telling you that you're not secure, that you're not safe. I know what he says to us a lot of times. He tries to pick apart our brains and confuse us and get us all stirred up and worried. I know. He's probably even threatened to kill you. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever been there? He told you, I'm going to take you out. Listen, my daddy died just not too long ago, just a few years ago. And when he died, a fear came over me. I'm going to tell you, I was trapped in such a dark, dismal fear. I started being afraid. I didn't want my family to go anywhere. I just knew if they even ran to Walmart, there'd be a car wreck and I'd lose them. Because that's the junk he was trying to put in my head. If they leave you, they'll never come back. I'm going to take your kids. I'm going to take your wife. That's the stuff he was telling me. Amen. A fear came over me. But I'm telling you right now, there is a God that conquers all fear. Amen. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the devil comes along. He tries to whisper in your ear and make you be afraid. That's what he tries to do. He tries to trap you in fear, because he knows if he can get you to be afraid, he'll paralyze you and you'll never do another thing for God. Come on, somebody. That's what he tries to do.
But I'm here to tell you that I don't care what he says. He has no power over us. Amen. We don't belong to him. We're children of God. Amen. We're saints of the kingdom of God. Amen. God is in control. And I don't care what he says. He has no power over us. Come on, church. Amen. He can tell you that he's going to kill you all day long. But I'm telling you, until God's through with you, you ain't going anywhere. Amen. You might get sick and think you're going to die. But until God is through with you, you ain't going anywhere. Hallelujah. God is going to preserve you until he's finished with you. God's going to hold you up until he's done with you. God's going to keep breathing life into you until he's ready to receive you until your return to the Lord. Until that, just be faithful and hold on to his hand. Hallelujah. Y'all didn't know Missouri was like this, did you? Lord, we're crazy over there. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Nobody can force open the hand of God and drag you out. Don't you believe those rumors? Don't you believe that lie? The devil is a liar. Come on, somebody. The Bible said he came out lying. Amen. Now, God didn't create him that way, but we know as soon as he rebelled, that's one of the first things he did. Started telling lies, and he's been telling them ever since. Come on, church. So that's the first thing you need to know. Amen. There's no power on this earth over this earth that can remove you from the hand of God. But the next thing I think that communicates, there's none that can deliver out of my hand. The next thing that communicates is this. I believe God also communicates the opposite. I think he's telling us when God is going to judge us, there's nothing or nobody that can stop him. Come on. When God's going to bring judgment, he's going to bring it. Ain't nothing can stop. Do you know the only thing that can avert judgment of God is a prayer of repentance and the blood of Jesus? Short of the prayer of repentance and the blood of Jesus, if judgment's going to fall, if you did something to be judged, you're going to be judged. Unless you throw yourself on the altar and say, Lord, forgive me for it. Cover me with your blood. Unless you're painting the blood on the sides of the doorpost of your heart and over the top, then judgment is coming and there's nothing anybody can do to stop it. Amen? I'm telling you, God is a God of righteousness, but God also has wrath. It's righteous wrath. And if you're not living like you should, you may run into that. And this world is getting ready to find out that God is a God that will judge sin and unrighteousness. This world is getting ready to find that out. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. So he's saying, look, if I'm going to bring judgment, ain't nothing you can do to stop it. Amen. Now listen, there are plenty of people in this world today that are living flippantly in this world like there's no recourse and no consequence for the things they're doing, the things they're saying, and the way they're living. Amen. They just go about life like they're never going to have to pay for the decisions and choices they've made. But I got news for them. Judgment is coming. It's going to come. Amen. The church is the only thing that's holding that off and holding that back. When God removed, and I believe Jesus is coming back. Anybody else? I wish there was somebody in the house that still believes Jesus was coming back. When Jesus comes back and takes his church, judgment is going to fall. And if we do not come and repent and apply the blood of Jesus on our lives before that moment, then we'll run smack headlong into the judgment and wrath of God. It's coming, and there's nothing that anybody can do to stop it. Amen? Amen. The next thing I think it's communicating, there's none that can deliver out of my hand. The next thing I think that communicates to us, I believe he's notifying us that there's no power on this earth, over this earth, or under this earth that could defeat him. Come on. There's no power that can overthrow our God. There's no power that can defeat our God. Does anybody believe that today? Just knowing that ought to help you not be afraid. Come on, church. Just knowing that ought to give you some surety and some assurance and some confidence. Come on. Amen. That ought to help you walk out of your house every day saying, I serve a God who cannot be defeated. I serve a God who cannot be overcome. I serve a God, amen, who cannot be, come on somebody, who cannot be subdued. He's going to do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. Come on somebody. Amen. And walking out, we ought to have that confidence within us. It's not about who we are. It's about who he is. You believe that, shall amen.
Amen.
Amen. So that's what he's saying. Listen, no power has ever been able to overcome our God. No power has ever been able to defeat our God. The wind couldn't do it. God spoke to the wind and caused it to cease. The waves couldn't do it. God spoke to the waves and said, lay down. And they did. Amen. Listen, No military power has ever done it. How many stories have you read in the Word of God where the enemy's army came after the people of God, and God all of a sudden caused those armies to fight amongst themselves and beat themselves, and God's people, amen, at the end of the story, were just standing there in victory. Amen. Listen, how many of you know the battle is the Lord's anyways? Some of you have been swinging as hard as you can because you forgot the battle is the Lord's. Some of you been out there, amen, trying to figure out some strategy to overcome your enemy because you forgot the battle is the Lord's. Do you understand today that the battle belongs to the Lord? It's not your battle to fight. All you need to do is get on your face before God and plead His blood and let Him work and let Him move and let Him fight. It's His battle, amen. It's His thing. Listen, God's people don't fight for victory. Amen. That's not what we do. We stand in victory because God's already won the battle. Hallelujah. God is the one that fights our battles. God is the one that gains victory for us. He is our victory. Without Him, we'll never have victory. Amen? So no army's ever done it. Get this. Not even any other god has ever defeated our God. Come on. I remember a story when the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represented God, right? And so they capture the Ark of the Covenant. And they take God, and they put God where they thought God belonged. Where did God belong? In their holy house. So they took Ark of the Covenant and God, and they put Him in their holy house right there beside their god, Dagon. Right? And they went and did their thing. The next morning they came to check on God and Dagon to see how they were getting along. And guess what? They found Dagon on his face. How many of you know that everything bows before our God? Everything bows before. Nothing can stand in His presence. So they find Dagon on the ground, and they stand Dagon back up, put him back in his place, and you know, y'all play nice, and they leave them together again. The next day they come in there, and they found that God has slammed Dagon on the ground so hard that he was broken into pieces. Amen? Can I just say this, and we'll get back to the message. If God ever knocks something down in your life, don't stand it up again. If God ever knocks something down in your life, He's doing it for a reason. He's trying to give you some victory. He's trying to help you to overcome. He's trying to move you on to the next level. Don't stand it up again. Just praise Him for it and thank Him for it. How many of us, we're too quick to go in there and stand that thing back up because we really like it. We come in and we don't want to talk about it to anybody, but deep down, we really like it. We're always trying to take care of it over here on the side. Right? Listen, if God visits you, whether at the altar or in your private prayer closet time, and delivers you from something, whether it's some addiction or whether it's some thought, whether it's some feeling, whether it doesn't matter what it is, if God delivers you from it, if He knocks it down, just thank Him for it. Amen. And move on to greater glories and greater heights. Amen. God's trying to lift you into something else. God's trying to do something else in your life. Just thank Him for it and move in it. So they come back in, and Dagon's down on the ground, busted all to pieces. I believe God was saying, no God can stand by me. No other God can stand by my side. Every other God someday. And how many knows we got scripture to prove it? The Bible said He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And one of these days, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is no other God. Hallelujah. Somebody just praise Him in the house. Would you just raise your hands and thank God? No other God's ever done it. How many knows death couldn't even do it? See, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, there's no power that could ever overcome our God. Not even death. He'd show up at funerals and wake up the dead. Amen? Amen. Amen. He'd walk into a deathbed and grab little girls by their hand and raise them up. How many knows He even lifted Himself up out of the tomb? Amen. He said, look, you can tear down this temple, but in 3 days. In 3 days. And how many knows it was 3 days? And there was a rock that shook, amen, in a graveyard somewhere, in a garden somewhere. And Jesus came out alive. Saints of God, I'm telling you, Jesus, amen, not even death could defeat Him. That's good news for us. Because we know that the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. I'm telling you right now, death has no power over you and I because Jesus has already conquered it. Not even death could do it. Amen? Death couldn't defeat him. How many knows not even the devil himself could defeat our God? Come on, church. Not even the devil himself could defeat our God. He walked just like he walked out of the grave. Amen. That I talked about just a second ago. When he walked out of that grave, he walked out with the keys of death, hell, and the grave rattling in his hand as a declaration. Amen. That he conquered all of those things. Listen, the devil didn't beat him in the wilderness. The devil couldn't beat him at the grave. And the devil will not beat him at the battle of Armageddon because he's not able to beat our God. He's not able to defeat our God. Our God is God, and he always will be God. I feel this in my spirit. Anybody else feel his presence? Amen. How many knows God is God and he always will be God? Oh, come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, the devil couldn't do it. Amen. God has all power. I said God has all power. Amen. Oh, you're getting there. I said God has all power. Yes, he does. The next time you come up against something you think is too big for you, you just remind yourself, I can't do it, but God, the God I serve has all power. This situation is too big for me, but the God I serve has all power. Amen. There's nothing I can do about this person in my life, but my God has all power. Amen. This problem, amen, that's lying on me is too much weight for me to carry, but my God has all power. Hallelujah. We need to come to that realization again. It needs to be fresh and new in our hearts and in our minds. We need to understand that our God has all power. I believe that. I don't have any power. I can't do anything. Not without him. Amen? What's impossible with man is possible with God. Scripture said, I can do all things through Christ who. You've heard that. You know, we've heard a lot of things, we just don't live in them. Come on, somebody. We need to live in that. Do you believe that? I can't do anything. Amen? But I know he can do all things. And if I'll just stay in his hand, if I'll just stay in his path, if I'll just stay in his will, if I'll just be putting my feet in his footprints, amen, then I know that I know he's going to get me where I need to go. God has all power. God has all power. God has all power. 1 Chronicles 29:12 says, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Psalm 93:4 says, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Jeremiah 32:17 says, oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there's nothing too hard for thee. Does anybody believe that today? There's nothing too hard for him. Listen, he never, never, ever made a promise he couldn't keep, saw a battle he couldn't win. Come on, somebody. There's nothing too hard for God. Nahum 1:3 says, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power. I said he's great in power. Amen. God has all power. He has power to deliver, according to Daniel 3:17. He has power to fulfill all of his promises. How many knows there's some good promises in the Word of God? Romans 4:21 tells us that he has the power, amen, to bring all of those promises to pass. I love that little song that we used to sing in children's church. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I'm standing on the word divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Anybody ever heard that song? Y'all didn't sing that in Kentucky? Amen. I love that song. I still sing it. We still did it. I mean, man, we still do it every time we can with our little kids. Because I think it's important for us to remember about the promises of God. Amen. How many say before his promises? Shout amen. He has power to bring all of those to pass in your life. Amen. The Bible says that it reminds us that he has power to subdue all things to himself, according to Philippians 3:21. He has power to make grace abound, according to 2 Corinthians 9:8. He has the power to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to Ephesians 3:20. He has the power to save us to the uttermost. Somebody said from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. According to Hebrews 7:25. He has the power to keep us from falling, according to Jude 1:24. He has the power power to rapture us and present us to himself. I said it a moment ago, I'll say it again. I believe that Jesus is coming for his church. The Bible says he's coming for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. And 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18 reminds us, amen, that one of these days he's going to step out. Amen. A trumpet's going to sound, and those that are dead are going to meet him in the air. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and that's where we'll be forever. Hallelujah and ever. Amen. That talks about his power and his eternal nature. Amen. God has the power to do all of those things. If you believe that, shout amen. God has all power. God has all power. And nobody will ever be able to walk in his shoes, and nobody will ever be able to wear his crown, and nobody will ever be able to sit on his throne. God has all power, and nobody, I don't care how much they try, nobody, amen, can take his place. Nobody, amen, can be who he is. I know that that hasn't stopped some from trying. There's some out there trying to get his credit. There's some out there trying to get his pat on the back. There's some out there trying to wear his crown and shoes and trying to steal his glory. But I'm telling you, there's only one God, amen. Amen. There's only one God, and it's who I serve. And he has all power, and he's going to make sure that I get through this life and on to the next. Amen. Our God has power. Our God has power. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Praise you, Jesus. God will always be God. I said God will always be God. He'll always be supreme. He'll always be sovereign. Amen. He's always going to be God. Nothing is going to change that. You believe that? Shout amen. Amen. And lastly, somebody say glory. He just said lastly. Amen. Lastly in our text, he says this, and I love this. This is my favorite part. I say that about songs sometimes. My wife, I say, that's my favorite song. Another song will come on and be like, man, that's good. That's my favorite song. Well, come on, man, that is good too. That's my favorite. My wife says, they're all your favorites, and she ain't lying. If they testify of God, if they proclaim his goodness and his glory, amen, if they celebrate who he is and what he's going to do in my life, then it's my favorite song. There are some out there that I haven't liked so much, but there's a whole lot of them that is my favorite song. Why? Because it reminds me about who he is and what he wants to do in my life. His faithfulness, his sovereignty. Amen? Amen. This is my favorite part of this particular passage. He said, lastly, I will work, and who shall let it? The MEV translates it this way. I will work, and who shall reverse it? The ASV says it this way. I will work, and who will hinder it? Think about it. He said, I'm going to work, and who shall let it? Who's going to reverse it? Who is going to hinder what I want to do? That's what God is saying here. God is saying here, I'm going to do what I want to do. Amen. I'm going to carry out my plan. I'm going to see that my will is accomplished. I'm going to execute everything that I put in place. Everything I put on the board is going to get me to the other side of this thing. I'm going to work, and who's going to stop me? I'm going to do what I want, and who's going to stop me? Amen. I'm going to move things around this board like, and who's going to stop me? Who's going to stand in my way? Who's going to prevent me from being God? Who's going to prevent me from creating and making and molding? Who's going to stop me, amen, from leading and guiding? Who's going to stop me from saving and delivering and healing? I'm God. Who's going to stop me from sanctifying and filling my people with the Holy Ghost? I am God. I'll do what I want, when I want, how I want. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody praise him in the house. I know you're still getting used to me. I know. I get it. But just would you just for a moment forget I'm even here and concentrate on the Lord and just let him move in this house? Hallelujah. He said, I'm God and I'll do what I want. I'll do it as long as I want. Amen. To who I want. He's God. Who's going to stop God from being God? Come on, somebody. Now, I know there's some people that have been trying to help, trying to do that, trying to help, you know, other entities and powers. But I'm telling you right now, there is no power that can stop God from being God. Amen? There's nobody that can stop God from being God. He said, I'm going to do what I want. Who's going to stop me? That's what he's saying right here. Who's going to hinder me from doing what I want to do? Amen? Who's going to stop God from blessing who he wants to bless? How he wants to bless them? When he wants to bless them? Amen? Now, we say amen there, but how many of you know there are times when we've tried? Come on. Now, I haven't been mean this whole time, but we're going to deal with this. How many know sometimes we've tried? We see somebody get blessed, and they don't really match our criteria. They didn't really meet our standard of blessing. And so we tell God, why are you blessing them? Why'd you promote them? Why'd you give them that school class? Why'd you do this? Why'd you do that in their life? You know where they've been? You know what they've done? You know how they talked about the pastor the other day? You know how they did this? You know? Since they don't fit our criteria, we try to tell God that he's not allowed to bless them. Come on, somebody. But I'm telling you right now, God can bless who he wants, when he wants, how he wants. He does not check with you. He does not make sure that, are you okay with me blessing them today? I mean, is this fit all right in your... He's God. He can do what he wants. Amen. And listen, if you stop being angry about their blessing, God may have had one on the way for you, but because you stood up and acted that way, your blessing may not ever come to pass. We ought to be holding everybody up. If God saw fit to bless them, you ought to get beside them and rejoice with them for the blessing they got. Yours may be on the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, that's the way we ought to approach things. But we're people. We're people, so that means that's not the way we usually approach things. Right? Y'all know people. I've known people. You know, some lady in the church gets a new dress, and some lady in the church will be like, well, I gotta go get a new dress. If she's getting one, I'm gonna get one. I mean, yeah, we met those people, right? Never was happy with anybody else getting a blessing. You know, guy gets a new bass boat, somebody else, some other guy, well, I'm getting you a new bass boat, I'm getting one too. I mean, come on. Now, both those people probably would have went into debt up to their ears to do what they wanted to do, but they just want to do it just because somebody else did. Listen, why can't you just be happy that God's blessing somebody else? Why can't you just be happy that God saw fit to touch them and bless them and raise them up? Listen, if your attitude stays good in that moment and you can rejoice with them, I'm telling you, God will have one for you. But he's only going to bring to you what you can handle. And if that's your attitude, you can't handle a blessing. Because I know, if you get the blessing, then you'll rub it in everybody's face. Because if that's your attitude when they got blessed, it's probably going to be that attitude when you get blessed. Come on, church. I promised I wouldn't be mean today. Let's get back up here. I'm so sorry. Amen. How many knows that's the truth, though? Come on, church. Amen. I'm telling you right now, God will bless who he wants, when he wants, how he wants. And if you believe that, shout amen. 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 God is saying, I'm God and I'll always be God. Psalm 46 and 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Isaiah 43 and 11 says, I, even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Isaiah 46 and 9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. I love that. He said, I'm the Ancient of Days, and I will do what pleases me. Isn't that what he said? He said, I'll do what pleases me. I'll do what makes me happy. I'll do what's in my will to do. And there's nobody and nothing that is going to change that. That's what God is saying. I say it over and over. I've preached it all my ministry. How many of you understand that God is God all by himself? Come on, somebody. He's God all by himself. He doesn't need your help. He doesn't need your advice. He doesn't need your suggestions. He doesn't need your strategies. He loves you. He wants to use you. But he's not all by himself. Amen? He's God all by himself. Listen, he doesn't need any of that stuff from you. How many knows God doesn't need help to do his job? He doesn't need help. He's more than capable of getting it done. He doesn't need our help to do his job. You know what he needs from you? I done told you. Not your suggestions, not your help, not your words of wisdom, because you ain't got any. Amen. Our wisdom comes from him. Come on, somebody. Amen. That's not what you know what he needs from you? I'll tell you what he needs. He needs your obedience. That's what he needs from you. If you'll just walk in obedience, if you'll just do what he's asked you to do, then everything else will fall into its proper place. Just let God be God and be obedient to everything. Oh, come on, somebody bless his name in this house. My goodness. God is God and He always will be God. Them children's church kids came in here and said, "What in the world is going on in here? That man is pitching a fit." Well, listen, I believe Jesus Christ is worth pitching a fit over. Come on, somebody. Amen. If you've really been saved, if He's really changed your life, amen, if He's really pulled you out of a gutter, if He really pulled you off a bar stool from your drunken stupor, saved your life, saved your family, then you ought to pitch a fit for Him once in a while too. Amen. I tell you, that's our problem in the church. We stopped pitching a fit for Jesus a long time ago, and we put everything in order. We just came in here and golf clapped Him, amen, every morning and just say, but we ought to be pitching a fit for Jesus. Come on, son. It's time the church gets excited about what Jesus is doing in our lives again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just have to admit, it never got out of me. Amen? It never worked its way out of me. Because I know what He said. Wait a minute. You just said that you were raised in the Church of God. You were a third generation Church of God preacher. I am. But do you understand that I had to get saved too? You hear what I said? I had to get saved too. Come on, I couldn't get there on the merit of my father or my grandfather. If I'd have showed up at the gates of heaven and said, "I'm Jesse Dale Richmond Sr.'s grandson," they'd have said, "Who's that?" Now listen, heaven knows who he is, but in regards to my soul, they don't have any idea who he is. The only way I can get into heaven is to have Jesus in my heart. The only way I can get into heaven, amen, is to be washed by that blood. Come on, somebody. Amen, I've got to apply that blood. Amen, it's not on the merit of my grandfather or my daddy that I'll get in there. It's on the merit of what Jesus did for me on a cross over 2,000 years ago. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to quit. Not hard, but I'm trying. Amen. Listen, it ain't over till God says it's over. You know why? Because God is God and He always will be God. Amen. Amen? He always will be God. Our text said, "Yea, before the day was, I am He. There was none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?" This tells me it doesn't matter what's said or done. It doesn't matter what situation arises. It doesn't matter what circumstance twists and turns out of control in your life. God is still going to be God. Come on, somebody. Amen. It doesn't matter what's happening in our country. It doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter what laws they're making and breaking. Do you understand that God is still going to be God? Amen. He's God now, and He's always going to be God. And nothing they say or nothing they do is going to change the fact that He's God. Amen. Listen, if they outlaw God, He's still going to be God. When they kicked Him out of the schools, guess what? He was still God. Come on. When the church is in a mess, He's still God.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Amen. When the singer stopped singing, and when the teacher stopped teaching, and when the preacher stopped preaching, guess what? He's still God.
Yes, He is.
Amen. God is still God.
Yes.
Amen. Now look, I'm going to reverse some of that. He's still God. And because He's still God, when the people remember that He's still God, the preachers won't stop preaching, they'll preach more. And the singers won't stop singing, they'll sing more. And the teachers won't stop teaching, they'll teach more. When we remember who He is, I'm telling you, God is God and He'll always be God. And when we remember that, hallelujah, then God's going to do some amazing things in our lives and in our churches. And it won't stop there. It'll splash over into our communities. And people out there will come in here because He said, "If you lift me up, I'll draw all men unto me." Oh, come on, somebody praise Him in this house.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
God is God, and He'll always be God.
Yes, He will.
Amen. God being God is not determined or dictated by any of that stuff that I just talked about. You understand that?
Amen.
Amen. Now, sometimes the way we act is dictated by that, but God being God, none of that dictates whether He's God. God was God, God is God, and God will always be God. Amen.
Amen.
I believe that. Psalm 86 and 8 says, "Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All the nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone."
Yes.
Thou art God alone. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Thou art God alone. Amen. Oh, somebody just tell Him that right now, would you? Oh, you're God alone. You're God all by yourself. Hallelujah. And I praise You today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God is God and He always will be God. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? Well, it means that God can be God in your life if you let Him.
Yes, amen.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
God can be God in your life if you let Him. Some of you in this house this morning have yet to really let God be God. You come in here service after service. You raise your hands, you sing the songs, you give in the offering, but you still, and you know who you are, you still have yet to let God really be God in your life. You're doing everything that everybody's asked you to do, everything that you think a Christian ought to do, but you still not just turn God loose on your life. You've not let God really be God in your life. Amen? God's trying to take you somewhere, and you just keep fighting the process. God's trying to move you, amen, into a new level. Amen, but you just keep dodging God's directive all the time.
Oh, hallelujah.
Come on.
Jesus.
Amen. Yeah. You've come in here service after service and just resisted the plan. Uh-huh. You think you've got everything going the way you want it to go. You think everything looks nice and tidy and pleasant, but you still not let God be God in your life. And God is here today saying, if you just let me have that, if you just turn that loose and let me work in that, I will take you places you never imagined you could go.
Yes.
But you've not let God be God in your
Jesus,
life.
Jesus.
Come on, somebody.
Hallelujah.
He's trying to promote you. He's trying to bless you. But you keep holding on to what He's been trying to deliver you from. Come on, church. Listen. It's one thing to know that God's thinking about you and has a plan for you, and it's a whole nother just to throw up your hands and say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It's a whole nother thing
uh-huh.
to just say, I'm in it. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'm in it. Amen? We all know God has a plan for us because preachers for years have been telling us.
Thank you.
But it's a whole nother thing to submit to it.
Yes.
Come on, church. You believe that?
Amen.
Why don't you let God be God in your life? Why don't you let God be God in your home, on your job, in your school, in your community? Why don't you let God be God? Amen? I know you've been frustrated. I know you've been confused. I know you've been hurt. And maybe some of you have been downright angry about some of the things that you've been having to deal with lately in your life. Some of the things that you've been having to traverse through and kind of navigate through. Some of you, amen, have come in service after service and you didn't tell nobody. You never let God be God either. And I'm going to tell you something. Your Facebook post ain't going to fix it.
No.
Come on, somebody. Boycotting the family reunion ain't going to fix it.
No.
Come on, church.
Come on,
man. Amen.
Amen.
It's not going to fix it.
Amen.
Quitting your job, it's not going to fix it. You know why? Because that junk will follow you to the next job.
Yes.
You know the only thing that can fix it? Let God be God in your life.
Yes.
I feel like somebody needs that right now.
Yes.
Let God be God in your life. Let God be God in your life. That's the only thing that's going to fix it. That's the only thing that's going to change things for you. Until you let that happen, you're going to keep struggling with the same old mess.
Amen.
You're going to keep fighting the same old battles. You're going to keep coming back to the same old place and never get to go into the promised land. Come on.
That's true.
You're going to get there and God's going to say, well, you still didn't learn. Another trip around the mountain. A whole generation died of the Israelites because they played the game that way. Come on, church. Is that really what you want? God is God, and He'll always be God. And it's time that we let Him be God in our lives. Do you believe that? Stand to your feet this morning. Won't you let God be God? Now listen. Just before we pray, let me tell you this. I said a few moments ago that there's nothing that can stop God from being God. And that's true except for when it comes to your life. When we're dealing with your life, there's one person that can stop God from being God. You know who it is?
You.
You can stop God. Now look, we serve a God who's limitless. But when it comes to your life, you're the only one that can limit Him. God is not going to just come. God is not into hostile takeovers. Let me say it that way. He's not going to kick the door of your heart open, your life open, and just take over. That's not what God's going to do. But I'll tell you what He will do. The more you yield, the more He'll come in. The more you yield, the more He'll move. The more you yield, the more He'll bless. The more you yield, the more He'll use you. Come on, church.
Yes, amen.
So if you want God to be God, you're the only one that can activate that promise and activate that will in your life. You got to come up here and just say, Lord, I've fought it long enough. I want you to be God in my life. So do in me whatever it is you want me to do. You have to make the decision. You have to put this in action into your life.
Yes, yes.
You can't do what God can do, but you can stop God from doing what he wants to do in you.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we love you this morning. God, we praise you this morning. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence in this house right now. I feel you in this house. And I thank you, Lord, and praise you, Jesus. God, I know you're working right now on someone's heart and life. I know you're doing something, dealing with somebody right now. I've felt it in my heart the whole service. And I just pray, God, right now that somebody today would walk out of here letting you be God in their life. They fought you long enough. They've struggled against it long enough. They do love you, Lord, but they just never let you be God. But today's the day. Today's the day. Today's the day. In the name of Jesus, move in this house right now, Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
Before I even make an invitation, would you just right now raise your hands?
Yes.
And just begin to thank God for what he's doing and what he's going to do.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
We thank you for moving.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dealing right now with hearts. We praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Precious Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
If you're in this place today and you say today, I don't know, have you been doing altar calls? Can I call people to the front? I know everything is different everywhere. But if you're in this place today and you said, today, I'm going to let God be God. I'm going to let God be God. I'm not leaving here until I've just surrendered everything in my life to him. If that's you today, and maybe it'll be a whole church, I don't know. But if that's your determination, that's what you want to do. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I haven't been struggling against it. I think I've been walking in his will, but I still want to make that declaration. Anybody in this house today that says, you know what, I'm not leaving here until God is God of my life. God, you be God. God be God of my life. Anybody here today that feels that way, I want you to move out from where you are right now. And I want you to come and make that declaration. Maybe you're just rededicating. That's all right. Maybe this is the first time you did it. That's okay. But move right now. Don't wait on anybody else. Everybody in this house that says, I want God to be God of my life. I want God to be God of my life. Move from where you are and come to this altar.
Thank you,
Jesus. In the name of Jesus right now. I want God to be the God of my life. God be God. God be God in me. Come on, anybody else? I know there's somebody else. I know there's somebody else in this house. I want God to be God in my life. Come on. Move in the name of Jesus. Move in the name of Jesus. Move in the name of Jesus. You don't got nothing to be embarrassed about. Ain't nobody going to think bad of you. Like I said, it wouldn't surprise me if everybody in the house would have said, that's me, baby. I want you to be God in my life, Lord. That's the way you feel. Come right now. God be God in my life. God be God in my life.